Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. People of God in St. Bede's, good morning. I want to spend time looking at the events that we commemorate and recall today with the triumphal entry. On Palm Sunday, the crowds chanted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest!" And it can be no accident that the chant that they yelled out in Jerusalem streets echoes what the angels sang in the night fields of Bethlehem over 30 years before. The angels sang, "Glory in the highest to God, and upon earth peace among men." God's highest glory is to redeem lost and condemned sinners who don't deserve it, don't want it, can't merit it. God's highest glory is to declare that in His Son, He is at peace with a world that is at war with Him. The lowliness of the baby in a manger was lifted high by the song of the angels and the worship of the shepherds. The lowliness of a dead man was also lifted high in a cross so that he might draw all people to himself. And I want to pause for a moment because I beg for you to consider something today and especially this week. As we move through and see the course of events of Jesus' life, the very things that He was called and so wished to do, all the gifts of mercy and love and tenderness, compassion, communion, fellowship to His mother Mary while He was hanging on the cross, all these gifts that He gave, we do well to think of those. But I want to challenge you to remember, God's gifts can never compete with God Himself. God's gifts can never compete with the opportunity to have relationship with God Himself. He went to painstaking efforts to make that so. And by His word, He continues to call for that relationship. Well, today we remember this Son of David who returned to Jerusalem. David himself once marched triumphantly into Jerusalem. You probably recall that event as he joyfully followed the ark, and it was placed in the newly erected tabernacle. Like David, Jesus was heralded also to be the long-awaited king and was hoped to be elevated to the throne. Now, Jesus was and is the Son of David, promised to inherit the eternal throne spoken of in 2 Samuel 7. But there was another Son of David, long before the time of Jesus, who also desired to be king. We read in 2 Samuel 15 of the exploits of one of David's sons, Absalom. And the contrast is remarkable between our Lord and Absalom, and especially in the events that we commemorate today. In his day, Absalom stood outside the city gates of Jerusalem, and over the course of 40 years schemed, and as Scripture says, stole the hearts of the people of Israel. Jesus had set his face towards Jerusalem, and the mission he was determined to do. He entered into the city gates, and instead of 40 years, took one day to elevate the hearts of people to praise and worship. And then a few days later, rescued the hearts of the people of Israel and all those who would subsequently believe in him. Absalom, after reaching a critical mass of support as he hung outside the city gates, he then snuck off to Hebron. And he sent spies throughout the land and then conspired to become king. Jesus would leave Jerusalem too, but just to a hill outside the city, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Absalom would then gather enough support and strength to terrify his father, the king, David. And this introduces another glaring, desolate contrast to the events we commemorate today. David, the king of the Jews, once fled Jerusalem. 2 Samuel records David leaving Jerusalem in haste. David escapes to the east, the same direction our Lord came from on Palm Sunday. David crossed the brook Kidron and ascended the Mount of Olives. And the people with him walked barefoot, with their heads covered, weeping. There were no cries of blessing and hosanna in this caravan. And in stark similarity, as David left, he is told of a close ally who also betrayed him. Yet David, a man after God's own heart, reached the top of this mountain, the Mount of Olives, and he worshiped God. And this would certainly be a difficult moment in David's life on the slopes of that sacred mountain. David's mournful exit as Jerusalem's rejected king offers an ominous foreshadowing of the ultimate son of David's rejection on those same slopes 1,000 years later. But the history that occurred on the Mount of Olives does more than tell the story of rejection. It speaks of redemption and one day of the ultimate acceptance of the king. Jesus cried twice on the Mount of Olives during his Passion Week. On Sunday, Palm Sunday, he wept at his triumphal entry because of those who would reject him. And on Thursday, he wept at the Garden of Gethsemane because he knew what redeeming sinners would cost him. We too have each rejected God and walked our own way. But Christ's gracious surrender to the Father at Gethsemane, leading to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, has made it possible for our redemption. For those of us who believe in Jesus, we will witness him at his second coming in the same manner as his ascension, as the angels report in Acts, when his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, as the prophet Zechariah spoke long ago. Perhaps then, as never before, will the Mount of Olives once again be a place where God is worshipped. As the King of Kings, who once came lowly, will come in might and glory. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those in earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who as on this day didst enter the rebellious city where thou wast to die, enter into our hearts, we beseech thee, and subdue them wholly to thyself. And as thy faithful disciples bless thy coming, and spread their garments in the way, covering it with palm branches, make us ready to lay at thy feet all we have and are, and to bless thee, who comest in the name of the Lord. Amen.